Good morning. My role is as a reviewer. I've just participated in a very small amount of this work. I'm not really sure why they chose me to give the precipitation, but here I am. And in essence, it turns out to be a review of three ARS programs using material that was originated by Forrest Robinson. I started my development of the presentation too late to clear it with all of the people that contributed information, so that's why we have a limited number of authors, because in ARS we have to get every author to agree with the presentation material before we can submit it. But I did ask the people to at the different places to review the slides that that impacts their work. The first report of Gossypium barbadensis session 713 as resistance came from a journal Cotton Science report in 2004 by Robinson et al. They evaluated 1,866 accessions of hirsutum and barbadense germplasm in a two-tier system, where in the first tier they just had evaluate one plant of each accession and compared it to the reproduction that occurred on DP16, which was their susceptible check, and Texas 1348 accession, which was a moderate resistant check. The best of the lines were then grown in replicated test in growth chamber and were evaluated for reaction to root knot and reniform nematode in separate tests. They were trying to find out if resistance to both nematodes existed in any of these germplasm. GB713 was found to be the most resistant accession to reniform nematode, having just 3% as many nematodes as the susceptible check DP16. The resistance of GB713 was confirmed in a field test carried out in four states and 2001, 2002. This was reported in the Journal of Nematology in 2006. I have 9 sources resistance. Actually, there was only 8 sources resistance. SureGrowth 501 was considered a possible tolerant line. And then there was another line that was used as a susceptible check. These were grown in replicated test in fields in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. Deep soil cores were taken, 122 centimeters deep were taken, and the distribution of the nematode throughout that profile was monitored. The most consistently resistant accessions were GB713 and Gossypium arboreum accession 87. They had the best suppression. It was interesting that the greatest suppression of the nematode occurred in Mississippi, with the least amount of suppression occurring in Texas. Also, Mississippi or at Stoneville had the suppression was more or less uniform throughout the soil profile compared to some of the other sites. I'm going to hit just this first item and then skip the other because in interest of time, and I probably started chasing some rabbits, as the expression goes. One thing that was found in these field tests that there was a lot of the nematodes didn't die even in fallow soil. Soil cores taken in fallow areas, mainly in the alleyways between plots, had high numbers of reniform nematode even at the end of the season compared to the beginning of the season. And this tended to first suggest that resistance wasn't effective, but Forrest found that when he subtracted out the number of nematodes in the fallow areas, then suppression became evident. So people need to watch when they're doing field nursery evaluations, need to monitor what this nematode is doing in the fallow areas. This nematode can go into a quiescent state. We don't really know what triggers it. And then since only the female invades the roots, you have all these juveniles and the males that may be in a quiescent state which allows it to maintain high numbers for some period of time. So if you're evaluating in the field, be aware of that. The next report from Robinson on the use of GB713 in breeding for resistance to reniform nematode occurred in a paper presented at the World Cotton Research Conference in 2007. Here he reported that our ARS colleagues, Jenkins, Gutierrez, and McCarty at Mississippi State were generating reels of M315 crossed to GB713 in order to evaluate for resistance to reniform and root knot nematode, plus look for markers linked to this resistance. And Dr. Jenkins told me that this is still in initial stages. Forrest was very interested in getting combining resistance both to reniform and root knot nematode, and initiated a process of back crossing resistance to reniform nematode from GB713 into several of the root knot resistant lines. He's using the root knot resistant lines as recurrent parent. In Texas, they used a population of GB713 by Nemex for a buck saccharin analysis, where they found three possible SSR markers for resistance to reniform nematode. And rereading the paper this morning, I'm not sure whether that analysis indicated that this was a single partial gene, or whether it was a study by Dr. Jenkins and all later that indicated that resistance to reniform nematode in GB713 was due to a single partially dominant gene that had some additive effects. This analysis indicated that that resistance to reniform nematode could be achieved by back crossing into the root knot resistant recurrent parent and selecting for reniform nematode resistance at each generation. However, the level of resistance that they counted for was low relative to the environmental variation. That's what it's expressed in the paper. So I'm assuming when they say environmental variation, they mean the fluctuation in nematode numbers through the susceptibles and the resistance. So all that was difficult to get significant differences is what it meant. And Forrest suggested in the paper that they might need to self between each back cross in order to enhance selecting for resistance. Of course, Forrest decided to retire from ARS in 2008. Since GB713 material had done so well at Stoneville, he sent us 95 lines to evaluate. These were derived from single greenhouse grown plants there at College Station. It represented 13 different populations. They had a pedigree of GB713 by two doses of Nemex, and then this had been crossed to a different number of generations of M315. I've got 0 to 4, at least for M315, it was 2 to 4. And then in some of the population, it had two doses of LA887. We grew these out in just a single row, self some of the plants in order to get seed. The soil was sampled for nematode densities at planting, mid-season, and harvest. The harvest data was adjusted for the reproduction that were occurring on DP16. Every other row through the field was DP16, so you could adjust the numbers based on the changes on DP16. And Forrest helped Dr. Satina to do that analysis and adjustment. In 2008, 196 crosses were made between representatives of these different populations we received from Forrest and adapted Mid-South material that we received from Peggy Thaxton there with the Delta Research and Extension Center. At the final analysis, it appeared that maybe three populations had the reniform nematode resistance fixed, and that five populations seemed to be still segregating for resistance. And this is a shot of the material growing there on the Delta Branch Experiment Station at Stoneville. You can see that this material is quite vigorous. Every other row is Delta Pine 16, so I can't tell you which row is experimental material versus Delta Pine 16 here in this slide, but just realize that every other row is Delta Pine 16. So you can see that the experimental material looked as good as in growth as Delta Pine 16. In 2009, some of these lines from the three populations that we thought had the resistance fixed were grown out in the field, and some representatives from the two of the segregating populations. These lines were selfed, and the F1 crosses that were made, or the F1 of crosses made in 2008 were grown and selfed. These crosses represented six different of the populations that we had received from Forest, and there were 60 different crosses involved. And this is just some of the material, pictures of where we're making pollinations. Again, you can see the material was vigorous. At College Station, in 2008 or 9, they had collected, 2008, they had collected DNA from plants grown in the greenhouse. We think these are the same populations we were growing there at Stoneville. They identified 10 resistant plants, which were homozygous for a BNL marker. Plants without the marker were susceptible. It turned out the reniform resistance is believed to be to reside on the long arm of chromosome 21 between BNL marker 3279 and CR316. These resistant plants have good fiber quality. So, at Mississippi State, the ARS program in Mississippi State, Robinson had provided them DNA from populations that he had phenotyped for the nematode resistance, and they are using this DNA to look for markers linked to the reniform nematode resistance. We think the DNA that they received came from the same populations that we were growing there at Stoneville, and that were also used for DNA analysis at College Station. Dr. Jenkins' group also conducted a generation mean analysis on reniform phenotypic data that Forest provided them. This came from the parents, the F1, F2, and the back crosses to the two parents. This analysis indicated that there was one gene with partial dominance. And they are also developing a segregating population of GB713 by SureGrow 747 to use for marker-assisted selection. So in summary, it appears that resistance to reniform nematode in GB713 is controlled by one gene with partial dominance. It appears to be on chromosome 21 and may be linked to BNL3279 molecular marker. The progeny of GB713 crossed to these root knot resistant germplasm that was grown at College Station may be near release. We've also been utilizing that material using adapted Mid-South material for crossing. And Starkville or Mississippi State, they're using GB713 and by SureGrow 747 for selection for resistance and development of marker-assisted selection. I did not feel I have had time to do a survey of the state people that may be participating or utilizing GB713. I just used the ARS programs where I knew this was going on. So if there's anybody from the state that's using GB713, please let us know. Thank you.